In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Gospel from St. Luke, particularly its conclusion, is oftentimes used in reference to vocational call, to priestly call, to give some understanding and context to the relationship, of course, that all calls have to the voice of our Lord, and to the expedience with which Peter, James, and John responded to our Lord's exhortation to leave all and follow him. The Lord enjoins before this call for them to put out into the deep, to trust again at the voice of his word, to listen to what it is that he has to say, and then follow him. Of course, it was Peter's obedience to that first exhortation that made it possible for him to respond to the next exhortation, to abandon everything and follow the Lord. But there is, I believe, brothers and sisters, a passage in this pericope from St. Luke's Gospel that oftentimes is overlooked. Peter's response to the miraculous catch is not to give voice and praise to God, although God certainly deserves that praise, but to simply say, very clearly state, "Leave me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." He's acutely aware of the unworthiness of what it is that has just transpired before him, what it is that has been given to him. And the only response is to recognize his unworthiness. It is that, I believe, brothers and sisters, that truly creates the context for the mission that the Lord then sets Peter on, and then James and John and the other apostles as well. When I was a young man, when I was a novice in the Society of Jesus, believing I was going to change the whole world single-handedly, believing that I was going to be the refounder of the Society of Jesus, believing that I was going to transform the whole church, all of these things within the first year of my novitiate. When I encountered difficulties, when I encountered people with whom I was ministering, I was always afraid to say that I would simply pray for them. Prayer seemed to be the recourse of the weak-minded and the feeble and the spiritually weak. Prayer was for those who had no other recourse, who in themselves could do nothing else. If one truly believed in the power of God, then one had the ability in himself to do great and monumental things. And all I had to do to change people's lives was to do whatever it is that they asked them to do or asked me to do for them. It became abundantly clear, very, very quickly clear, that not only was I incapable of doing anything for most of the people who asked my assistance, I was not going to be the transformer of the world or the church or the Society of Jesus. And as time has gone on, wisdom and age have prevailed, and I find myself more and more returning to two very simple, profound, and necessary spiritual truths. That God has already conquered the world. God has already given us everything that we need, and God will always provide if we can be men and women of prayer. Truth number one. The second truth is, I am a sinner, unworthy of the manifold blessings that God has bestowed upon me. Because in truth, brothers and sisters, when we go out into the deep, when we do the things that God asks us to do, the success that we have is not our own. We fall into the trap of believing that somehow the things that I do in my cooperation with the grace of God, somehow all of that redounds to me. But in truth, all things that are good, all good things that are done in and through and by the power of God in our Lord and Savior. Everything else, those things that are bad, those things that fail, those sinful things, they belong exclusively to me. Therefore, when good things happen, and indeed so many good things have happened in my priestly life, so many that I can't count them, I cannot stand before the Lord and say, "Look at all the things that I have done." Rather, I must say, as Peter himself said, "Lord, leave me, for I am a sinful man." What then does the sinful man do? He does precisely what Peter does. He falls down before the Lord. He begs for mercy. He becomes, in that very precise moment, a man of prayer, entreating God, calling up to God, calling out to God. Men and women of prayer, men and women who recognize our weakness and our sinfulness, it is then and only then that we can set out into the deep, go forth and be on mission, and do the things that God asks us to do. Oftentimes, people will ask the question of me, especially in spiritual direction, wanting to come to a better understanding of what it is they are to do with their lives, whether it be a particular vocation, or whether it be something that they feel called to in the midst of the vocation that they have already embarked upon. And yet, it also becomes clear that they have not taken the time to pause and listen to the voice of God. What does the Lord say? That is not a rhetorical question, because the Lord does indeed answer us. Most eloquently and beautifully from the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and the living God himself present to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the tabernacle. He answers us in our prayer. He answers us through others who exhort and admonish and strengthen us and set us on various paths. But in order to hear the voice of God, we must train ourselves assiduously, day in and day out, to listen to God. And to listen to the voice of God requires an inner ear that can only be developed in and with and through the presence of God himself. And coupled with being in God's presence and allowing God to train us to hear his voice, we must recognize our own weaknesses which impede us from hearing the voice of God. My sinfulness gets in the way of hearing God's voice, because all I hear is the noise of the world and my cooperation with it. When I am a sinner, and sadly more often than not I am, I'm more concerned about myself, more convinced about myself, more thoughtless of others than I am anything related to or concerned with God. How does one hear the voice of the Lord in the midst of all that noise? And the answer is, one does not. God never abandons us, for that we can be sure. God will continue to plow through, if you will, the hardness of our heart and the deafness that is created by our sinfulness. But if we recognize that, and of course, cooperate through the sacrament of reconciliation, and throw ourselves upon God's mercy again and again and again, we prepare ourselves to listen well to the voice of the Lord. And then, brothers and sisters, when he calls, and indeed he calls, and he will call, and he will continue to call, you can respond with the same degree of immediacy that Peter, James, and John did. You can abandon everything, leave everything, and follow after the Lord. In truth, it's the only way to do that. It's only possible to leave everything. Only when we've established right relationship with God through a life of prayer and the recognition of our sinful weakness that we can truly do the things that God asks us to do. Why is this significant? Before, the simple fact is, we all want to change the world, and that's a good desire, whether it be the naivete of an 18-year-old, or truly the work that all of us are engaged in according to our age and our states in life now. We want the world to be a better place. More significantly, we want the world to be a Catholic place. I would settle for the Catholic Church being Catholic. These are good desires to come to fruition. But God will allow them to happen according to his divine will and his providence. Yes, we work, we cooperate. But first we listen and we pray and we recognize our weakness. Only then can we be true cooperators in the transformative and redemptive work and grace of God. The world will be transformed as God sees fits according to his time. And in truth, he's already victorious. Therefore, there is no reason to fear, as the Lord says to Peter, because everything and all things have been done well in the risen Lord. All that is now left for me to do is to be a man of hope, a man of constancy in prayer, and a man who has constant recourse to our Lord's mercy because he recognizes that he is a sinner. And in this way, brothers and sisters, I am convinced, as it has been and as it is now and as it always will be, men and women's hearts will be transformed by the manner in which we live our lives, by the faith that we make manifest, and the various tasks that God sets before us. All of us are called by baptism, stamped and sealed in confirmation, renewed in the most holy Eucharist, to go out and to transform the whole world. Now what you must do, knowing what your call is, knowing what your mission is to pause. In prayer, listen to the voice of God. In weakness, recognize that you need the Lord to accomplish his will, and then to do whatever it is that he commands you to do.